Good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, May 12th, 2016. I'd like to thank you for joining us this evening live from Washington. I am Dimyake Mwakalyelye. A closer look at the impact of politics on Zimbabwe's economy. And Dynamos sacks its coach, George Paulo Silva. A lot has been said about the proposed introduction of bond notes in Zimbabwe, with some critics saying that this is set to cripple the economy. Central Bank Governor Dr. John Magunjiga has been a bit hazy on the issue, with indications that he is backtracking on some of the intended functions of the bond notes. He says that they are not supposed to ease cash shortages, but to promote exports in an underperforming economy. Despite some of the contradictions that have emerged over the bond notes, politics remains key in the implementation of monetary policies in most countries, save for a few where central banks are independent. What is the impact of politics in economic activities in countries like Zimbabwe? Is it possible to remove politicians from the economic equation or use them to fix the underlying economic problems? For perspective, Studio 7's Gibbs Dube reached ZANU-PF UK chairperson Nick Mangwana and economist Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe. Mangwana tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube that the central bank depends on politicians in crafting and implementing monetary policies.
The Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe is a national institution, which is under the Minister of Finance, which is a kwango under the Minister of Finance. So it has to account to Parliament, which is why he had to come to Parliament. And the idea of avoiding the involvement of politicians as in the minister was actually attempted, because that's the reason why the minister didn't present this particular monetary policy or effort to Parliament, but the governor himself. So I'm saying that was an effort to remove the politics out of it and just focus on the policy itself.
Mr. Chitambara, can you chip in there? Mr. Chitambara, what's your view on, you know, having politicians, you know, running the economy instead of maybe the RBZ governor? Is it possible really to actually get rid of politicians in the economic equation?
No. You can't get rid of politicians in the economic equation, because what politicians then do is to provide what we call a vision. They are actually supposed to enunciate the vision. Then the technical guys are the ones that now run with the vision. They implement the vision. So we need the politicians to guide us in terms of the direction, in terms of the vision. Then we, the technical people, would then run with that vision and implement the vision. So you can't really separate the two. The politicians are there to provide a framework in which the technical people can then implement strategies to actualize the vision that would have been defined by the politicians.
So now, Mr. Mangwana, do you see any role that ZANU-PF is playing right now in terms of printing these bond notes?
Of course not. ZANU-PF has no role whatsoever. The basic issue is ZANU-PF deployed people as in the minister, are the people running or charting the vision, to quote Mr. Chitambara's phrase there. So it's not ZANU-PF involvement involved in any of this, except that the minister's political party is ZANU-PF. That's all.
And Mr. Chitambara, let's look at the international kind of scenario. What happens, really? Are they autonomous?
With Treasury? Well, there are a number of systems, really. In some countries, they've actually quite independent central banks, and that, of course, they ultimately they report to the Treasury. But I think what most developed countries have done is to ensure that there's a greater levels of autonomy, so that actually central banks can actually come up with policies. Obviously, those policies, they have to complement the fiscal policies that are announced by the Treasury. But in most countries, actually, there is some degrees of autonomy in terms of how central banks actually work, how they actually come up with their policies, which policies will need to complement the overall developmental thrust and macroeconomic thrust of the government.
And Mr. Mangwana, do you see any kind of, let's say, you know, a autonomous central bank in Zimbabwe?
It is possible. I've already called the central bank a kwango, meaning a quasi non-governmental organization in that regard, but it is a governmental organization. The central bank is so focused on the monetary policy, and obviously the government, or the Ministry of Finance, which is the exchequer, on the fiscal policy. The two cannot be separate because they have to complement another. One is to feed into the other. But still, having said that, in Zimbabwe's case, where we don't actually have our own money, there is no way you can simply say have an autonomous central bank that does its own thing. Even in here in England, the Bank of England still has to feed into the policy that Mr. Osborne come up with. So there is no way it can be completely out there and does its own thing when the government's vision is there doing its own thing. The central bank, yes, is advisory to the Minister of Finance in that regard. So that's exactly what exactly the same role Mr. Mangudla plays with Mr. Chinamasa.
So now with politicians, Mr. Chitambara, playing that kind of key role, so at the end of the day, how can you fix the Zimbabwe economy? People always say, you know, the ruling party is dabbling into wrong things, like, you know, looking after the economy and all those kind of things. How do you fix it?
How do you fix the economy? I think what we need to do, obviously, we need to have an institutionalized framework for social dialogue. I think when you look at countries that have gone through challenges that Zimbabwe is going through, countries like Singapore, countries like Ireland, I think one thing that really stands out is the ability of the politicians to bring together on board the various social partners into what we call a social contract. So I think what Zimbabwe needs right now is a social contract that brings together government, business, labor, and the communities to actually reach a consensus on what needs to be done to address the key binding constraints that are militating against the efforts of government to achieve sustainable humane development. So I think for me, we need to go that route of having a social contract where we bring together on board all those stakeholders so that they are not working at cross purposes against each other, but they are actually working in unison.
That was economist Prosper Chitambara of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe. You also heard from Nick Mangwana, ZANU-PF UK chairperson. Both spoke with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube. A recent survey conducted by the Zimbabwe National Statistics Agency indicates that three quarters of Zimbabweans are poor, with Matabeleland North having the largest number of people gripped by poverty. Our correspondent Taurai Shava gives us more.
The statistics were revealed at a meeting in Mlayo to discuss an interim poverty reduction strategy paper being drafted by various stakeholders. Out of the country's 10 provinces, the figures show that in Matabeleland North, 80% of the population is generally poor, while 40% is living in abject poverty, with general household poverty at nearly 71% and extreme poverty at about 19%, Matabeleland South is ranked third, while the Bulawayo Metropolitan Province has the least percentages for both general and extreme poverty levels countrywide. National Coordinator of the Poverty Reduction Initiative, Jasmine Chipika, said although the numbers of households as well as individuals in general and extreme poverty have been lessening over the years, most Zimbabweans remain poor. She attributed the trend mainly to the continued existence of an economy characterized by duality, in which a small formalized segment coexists with a highly marginalized and largely poor rural sector.
We also note that while poverty can be structural, there is also a version of it which is caused by our own policy making. If you put certain policies in place in a country and they don't work, even people who are not poor can actually fall into poverty.
The study also states that employment in the country's formal sector has drastically dwindled due to company closures and downsizing owing to economic decline, which in turn has compelled workers to join the informal sector.
So we need to resolve the nature and quality of employment in the country.
Western Region Chairperson Rizin Ngwenya of the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions says the economic situation in Zimbabwe has resulted in few individuals getting rich while the majority remains poor.
In Zimbabwe today, there are the extremely rich people who are about 10% or less. and the extremely poor people who are 90%.
The leader of Women of Zimbabwe Arise, Jenny Williams, who also attended the meeting, said some of the country's economic problems can be blamed on poor governance. The program is said to be part of a raft of measures agreed to between Zimbabwe and multilateral finance institutions and aimed at helping revive the economy. The interim poverty reduction program is supposed to start from this year until 2018, when a 5-year program is expected to be put in place. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shava.
And in sports, this happened just this afternoon. Dynamo's football club has fired its coach, George Paulo Silva, claiming that he was underperforming. Let's hear what coach Kenny Mubaiwa tells Studio 7's Marvelous Ntlanga Nyahuye about this.
We had a meeting with the coach this afternoon around 4 p.m. where we decided to terminate his contract.
By terminating his contract, is Dynamo's not liable to pay him off for the remainder of his contract?
According to the contract, there is no clause that says we'll pay him if we terminate his contract.
So for now, who's going to be heading your team?
Lloyd Mtasa is going to be the acting head coach until we find a substantive coach.
And most people have asked that, why did you look outside of Zimbabwe when you have competent people within Zimbabwe?
How many coaches do we have here in Zimbabwe? Which coaches are they talking about? Because we've tried and tested them, and no one can come up and say, why didn't they appoint so-and-so as a coach? Who is he that we can appoint today? Looking at the current coaches that we have here, some of them are employed with other clubs, and those who are not employed cannot qualify to coach Dynamo. So we cannot just appoint the coach because he's a coach, no.
That was Dynamo's chairman, Kenny Mubaiwa, speaking with Studio 7's Marvelous Ntlanga Nyahuye from Harare.